Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it.
Hello again and welcome to another Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM, a local radio station with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Tonight I have live in the studio Helen Scott, our missionary partner who's out in Malawi. Well, she's not out in Malawi at the moment, she's back in Scotland on furlough and she's been going round the area talking to various churches about what she's been doing. So I've persuaded her to come to our church on Sunday and also to come to the 3TFM studio today. So welcome, Helen.
Thank you very much.
It's good nice to see you again because you were the second person ever that I interviewed on the radio. So I just thought now you're back in the country, we could do a little follow-up. So the missionary returns. So how long have you been out in Malawi up now?
I've now been in Malawi 11 years.
And then before that, you were also...
I was in Zambia for 14 years. So altogether, 25 years.
Yeah. So your whole missionary career has been out in Africa?
It has, yeah. In Southeast Africa.
Why were you so keen on Africa?
I just felt that that was where God called me to be. I wasn't particularly keen on that over any other bit of the world, but that's just where I ended up and where I know God wants me to be. Yeah.
And you're thinking you might be there for another 25 years?
We'll wait and see what God says. Yeah. But each year, we review it every after 2 years.
Every 2 years you have to review.
Yeah, think again.
But you're planning to go back out again soon?
I'm going back out at the end of this year for another 2 years. So that'll take me up to 2014.
And just remind us again briefly, what do you do out in Malawi?
I'm a teacher, basically. I'm a teacher of physical science and biology at a girls' secondary school. As well as being a teacher, I'm also the deputy head, so I've got quite a lot of administration at the school. And then, as a worker of the church, I'm seconded to work for the Church of Central Africa Presbyterian, which is the sister church to the Church of Scotland out there. And so, as a worker for the church, I'm also involved in the church life in Ekwendeni and the north of Malawi.
Well, we'll hear more about it in a moment, but our usual routine, we ask our guests to pick their music, so you've picked an African piece of music to kick us off. Can you explain that one?
Yeah, this person who sings this is actually a friend of mine, and the backing group is also a friend of mine, and the song is saying basically that we're more than conquerors in Christ, and even though things go wrong, that's my basic belief. We're more than conquerors with Christ.
So here's Edgar Nkata.
Mwana wa Yesu, vyose viwe mi, mache mekela,
You're listening to the Holy Half Hour on 3TFM, where I'm interviewing Helen Scott, a Church of Scotland missionary who's out in Malawi. She's from Dalry, local girl, but she's been 11 years now teaching in Ekwendeni Girls Secondary School. So Helen, tell us a wee bit about your girls' school.
Well, it's a girls' school because girls have less chance at education. So the reason it was set up for girls was just to give them an opportunity for education.
Would it be true that all girls in Malawi are not taught?
Oh, not at all. Only about, at secondary level, only about 5%.
So you teach that 5%?
Yeah, exactly.
How many girls in your school?
We've got 343 girls in the school, 8 classes, approximately about 45 to 50 per class.
And are they fee-paying?
Well, the school is going through a transition at the moment. Half of them are fee-paying. Half of them are paying, but it's subsidised by the government, so they pay a smaller amount.
So are these the privileged few?
Not really. They're the girls who have the merit to get into that level of secondary school. So they've passed exams. They have to write exams at primary school, and they've got to pass well to get into secondary school, and very well to get into Ekwendeni Girls.
So it's not the privileged few financially, but it's the cleverest ones.
Exactly.
So what happens to all the other girls in Malawi?
At the end of primary school, a lot of girls will just drop out and go back to the villages, help in the home, help to bring in the harvest each year and just become part of the village. Maybe about 2% go to the national schools, which Ekwendeni is one of, and the remainder would be going to community day schools. Because they're at day schools, they've got to do a lot of work at home, and they might not even complete their school, their secondary schooling.
Yeah. If a girl misses out, can she later in life go to evening classes or something?
Yeah, we do have night schools, but it's very difficult to do things at night school because the time available is so much shorter. They've only got maybe 3 hours, 2 hours a day to do all the subjects, so they tend to find the time is very, very short and they've really got to be very motivated to do well at night
and
school.
When girls leave your school, do they have opportunities to put their education to use?
Yeah, there are various opportunities in all sorts of walks of life, teaching, nursing, the banking sector, secretarial, accounts, journalism, all sorts of things. But it usually takes them about 2 years before they get into a course or find a job.
I'm interested in a personal note. Why, if you're a missionary, are you out there as a deputy head teacher rather than as a preacher?
Well, not everyone's called to be a preacher. And I love teaching. And it's a gift that I have. So I'm glad that God allowed me to be a teacher and not a preacher. You know, God wants people in all walks of life. He doesn't just want people in the pulpit all the time, no. He wants people in all walks of life.
Yeah. Well, our next piece of music, can you explain that one, why you've chosen it?
Yeah, our next piece of music is called Stand in the Gap, and it's by Tom Inglis. And I've chosen it because often, you know, things are not always easy, but we're called as Christians to stand in the gap and to pray for one another. And we covet people's prayers in Ekwendeni.
The eyes of the Father run to and fro. He's searching the earth. He's looking for those who make intercession on behalf of their nation. Those who will rise up and pray will stand in the gap on behalf of our land. We'll stand in the gap on behalf of our land. Down on our knees, we'll take our stand and there intercede.
So Helen, Scotland and Malawi have quite a relationship. Can you explain something about why, for some reason, Scotland's got very close to that particular one country?
Well, it's all historical, really. I mean, it's partly because of David, well, it started with David Livingstone. When he went out there, he came back and he spoke to the Christian unions in the colleges, and he spoke to the Free Church Christian Union in Edinburgh University. And a group of people were inspired to go out there and start a mission station. And they went out under the leadership of someone called Dr. Laws. And this is all of 120 years ago. They went out, started this mission. It failed. Everyone died of malaria in the south of Malawi. They went a bit further up the lake. They died again. They went further up to Livingstonia, and they settled there, and it was a very profitable time. And a lot of the north of Malawi is, a lot of the education, a lot of the values are there because of the missionaries that first came. So there's that, a very strong link. And Malawians, especially in the north, but Malawians generally, think of Scotland as their mother.
Do you think it may be too high an ideal view of Scotland?
Oh, I think they have, yes. And when things go wrong this side, they get really shocked.
Well, also in your own experience, you straddle the two countries, mm-hmm. and I'm curious to see your observations. Can you give us any off the top of the head observations between Malawi and Scotland?
Well, you know, when I come back here, especially at the moment, and see and hear about all the problems that there are, and see the way that we cope with them here, and then think about the problems that are in Malawi and the way that we cope with them there, there's huge differences, because in Malawi, there's lots of laughter. Even though things are difficult, there's lots of laughter. Whereas here, people tend to think that just things are getting worse and take the morose side of things. Yeah. So
an hour worse is better than their best, probably.
Well, it is, yeah.
Happiness is not a function of external circumstance. It's a function of internal feelings.
Well, that's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I found that in other countries as well. Do you find that when you go to Africa and back, that the biggest adjustment is the coming back to Scotland?
I think so. Although I've been backwards and forwards so many times now that I've sort of forgotten about adjusting. I've just compartmentalised them, yes, in my mind and just go from one to the other quite easily.
Yeah. So have you got one word of advice from Africa to Scotland?
Loosen up. Cheer up.
Yeah, good point. Well, what's the music to go with the... with this, you've chosen Praise Gathering.
Yeah, Let All the World Sing Praises, because, see, you know, when we do loosen up and when we think about others who are worse than ourselves, then we can sing praises. And Malawians often are singing praises even though their things are bad.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise him, the rocks will cry out.
Blessed be the King.
Hey, and if we keep silent, the earth will shout.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Sing hallelujah!
were saying, Helen, that Malawi can have difficult times, but they're fairly chirpy cheery, as we would say.
That's right.
Can you tell us a bit more about Malawi's difficult circumstances just now?
Well, at the moment, Malawi is going through a very difficult period. Malawi is one of the poorest countries in the world. If I just give you one statistic, 88% of all households have no electricity and 83% have no flushing toilets. So if you just think of that, you'll realise a bit about how poor it is. Then add on top of that the fact that at the moment there's no fuel in the country. And so businesses, getting around is very, very difficult. There's very few medicines in the country. Things like insulin are not there. So for people who rely on insulin, then they don't know what they're doing. There's no foreign exchange for businesses for importing or exporting. And so all these problems are there added to the normal level of poverty. Most people are subsistence farmers. That is, they eat what they grow. And if the harvest fails, then they're on a knife edge that year. Last year, the harvest was reasonable, and so they should be able to have enough food. But with all the added problems of no fuel, that pushes prices of everything else up. So Malawi's going through these big problems at the moment.
Yeah, it's officially, is it, in the bottom 10 countries of the world?
I think so, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so all the things we read about and hear about, Malawi's got it.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We forget sometimes in this country that the people facing these problems are young people. We're used to so many people being elderly, but tell us a bit about the youth of that country.
The majority of Malawi are youth, are young people. Only 4% of the whole population are over 65. And
that's 4 in 100 people are pensioners.
Right. That's right. And 22 out of every 100 people are under the age of 5.
The world's average age is 25, and Malawi being in the poorest
ones, somewhere around
it's going
that.
To be something like
yep.
that.
Yep.
I was in Kenya, and the average age in Kenya was 15.
I think it's a bit above 15, but not that much.
Yeah. So we've got young people in dire circumstances. You were mentioning you yourself experience it all the time at the school. You have power cuts?
We have power cuts. We have no water. Fortunately, we rely on firewood to cook, so no fuel doesn't hit us too much. But, you know, these are all things there, and you just get used to them, and you think, oh, well, there's no water today, so what? And you have always a standby. You get used to it. But then the to do with the age groups, the other thing I should mention is the epidemic of HIV.
Yes.
And that has really reduced the age of the country. You can see it. The elderly people are looking after the young, the small children, and the working group, the middle-aged group, are being decimated, and that's frightening.
And it means young people have adult responsibilities.
Exactly, yes. Children don't really have a chance to play. You know, they grow up as adults looking after their siblings, sweeping, cooking, and everything else, but they don't have a lot of play.
Do you see any glimmers of hope?
Yes. There's lots of glimmers of hope, and the glimmers of hope come in people who are really hardworking and who achieve the goals that they set themselves. People who even, I've got a friend of mine who is an orphan, and she has put herself through school. She's worked really, really hard. She's gone through college now, and she's got a degree in agriculture, and she's now an agricultural advisory officer. And that sort of thing is a real glimmer of hope, because these are the people who are going to change around the country.
Your next song has something to do with "This is the time to embrace life," I think is the translation.
Yeah, again, it's by this friend of mine. And even though there are all these problems in Malawi, people are very cheerful, and they embrace the positive things, not the negative things.
So here's Edgar Nkata again.
Kwananga sono ndipo kuti mazoko
As well as working in the school as a deputy head teacher, you're also involved in the church life out there. So how's Malawian church life these days?
Well, Malawian church life is really very vibrant. The church numbers are growing. And at Ekwendeni we have two services, once in English and then another one in Tumbuka. Both services have over 300 people attending.
That's 600 different people on a Sunday.
Yeah. And the morning, the first one, the English one, 80% are young people.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of singing, lots of choirs, lots of...
Is the singing distinctive African singing, or do they still use the Scottish hymn books?
Well, they use the Scottish hymn books, but they also have their own distinctive, so it's a mixture of both.
Mm-hmm. And they sing spontaneously sometimes?
They do. Yeah.
I love that. Anybody from Scotland going there would find that exciting, yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah.
So you're also involved in the Girls' Brigade out there?
I am. I'm the captain of Ekwendeni Girls' Brigade.
How's the Girls' Brigade doing?
Well, we've got about 200 come along to it, and it's good, but it has its frustrations in that you don't always get continuity. But it's good to be able to have time and to spend time with young girls and give them all the opportunities they don't have at school because of huge classes, so they can have times to colour in and to cut out and stick and play games and all these sort of things.
Would you say it's easier to be a Christian in Scotland or easier to be a Christian in Malawi?
Oh, Malawi, much easier.
Why
much
is that?
Easier. You know, in Malawi, being a Christian is as normal as breathing, whereas here in Scotland, if you say you're a Christian, people look at you as if you're a bit odd.
Are you meaning all Malawians think they're Christians?
No. So there's Muslims there as well, but about 80% of Malawians would say they're Christians.
So there's nobody saying they're not religious?
Maybe a very small handful, but not many.
So the climate is everybody's assuming that we worship and the Christian church is growing, so the whole psychology is different.
Yeah. You know, the African belief is that there's someone much more powerful than us there who's created us and who's keeping things going. And that's their basis. And so they fall into worship very, very easily.
Well, I'm afraid, Helen, our holy half hour's nearly up. But we're going to finish on a climactic note of worship. You've picked Tom Ingalls again. This is a Scottish man out in Africa.
Yeah, this is a South African hymn of praise to the king. And Bayeti Nkosi means praise the king. And it's taken praise the king of kings.
So can I just thank you for coming back into the studio and updating us on life and out in Malawi, and we wish you all God's richest blessings as you go back and continue to minister, taking part in the worship of the King that's the same in Africa and in Scotland.
Well, thank you very much. It's been great to be here.
Thanks again.
Bayeti and Corsi, Bayeti and Corsi.